Kurt and Kate Mornings, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. here on Moody Radio Florida.
Here's today's moment from the show.
Our guest this hour writes these words. As a Muslim convert to Christianity, the crisis of many megachurches is beyond the hypocrisy of celebrity pastors who preach what they do not emulate. More troublesome for people like me is that many celebrity pastors fail to teach the whole counsel of the gospel. Mm. The obsession with social media fame, personal popularity, wealth accumulation, it leads to an intentional omission of the hard truths of Christ's message. Repenting and turning from sin, not conforming to the patterns of this world, and facing persecution for our beliefs is a constant theme in the Bible. So, in other words, you know, repenting, turning from sin, not conforming to the patterns, all this stuff, this is biblical stuff here, but it's not being preached as it should in many places. And she continues, without these truths to guide our behavior, a church body ends up more like a self-help group or a social club than a place of discipleship. That's powerful stuff, Kate, when you chew on those words.
Yeah.
What an observation that is. Hedia Miramati is the author, and she is the founder of Resurrect Ministry. And this article that she wrote on the Christian Post is very eye-opening. Hedia, welcome to the conversation this morning. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor.
It's an honor for us to have you here. And your story is so vital. There's a lot of stuff we're going to be getting into here. But before we even dive into that, into the pool, I would love for you to share your story of coming to Christ out of the Muslim faith. You know, God draws us in different ways. But I never get tired of hearing these stories of how he draws us to Jesus. Could you give us your story?
Sure. I was raised in Beverly Hills, California, and I was raised to, my parents are immigrants from Iran. I was born in the United States, but they immigrated. I grew up secular. They were not religious people, and I felt this void in my life later when I was in college, and I sought out religion, and the natural fit was Islam because my parents were Muslims. I mean, at least culturally Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a local mosque, and I actually found it to be quite extreme. It didn't resonate with me. It was very anti-Semitic. And as a consequence, I thought that I would never accept Islam. And then I found a spiritual community, which was the mystical branch of Islam known as Sufism, which was more about getting a relationship, personal relationship with God, improving your own personal character. It was a much more mystical interpretation of the religion that appealed to me. And that's what I ended up in. And for 22 years, I was a practicing Muslim. It was literally not until I decided to remove, and I was very devout. I kept all of the ritual prayers, the ritual washing, fasting Ramadan, 30 days every month. I mean, 30 days for every year. And then suddenly I decided I wanted to take my head cover off. I was at the FBI. I was on a special contract to develop a national counterterrorism program.
Hmm.
And all these imams started to tell me that I would hang from my hair in an eternity in hellfire for taking my head cover off.
Well,
wow.
And yes, and the religion unraveled. And interestingly enough, I felt like God was extracting me out of Islam. I hadn't met Christ yet. And it wasn't, you know, 6 months or so had passed. I had left Islam. I had really no relationship with the God I believed I loved and wanted to worship. And I came across this video of a woman I don't even know who says, I have been healed of this personal trauma by getting a personal relationship with Jesus. I invite you to watch my pastor's video. And I watched the video and I was hooked. I thought, this is fantastic. Oh, Jesus is coming to solve my problems. And as a Muslim, we believe in Jesus. So it wasn't that difficult for me to allow myself to hear the teaching of Jesus. I just thought, oh, this is fantastic. Jesus is going to inspire me to solve my problems. But sure enough, the closer he drew me, the more conflicted I became about who was Christ and the concept of him being Lord and being God incarnate. And I put my head down in prayer so many times, asking God to reveal himself to me. And then One beautiful day, I heard the audible voice of Christ say, "Hedia, it's me."
Oh, man, what a moment. You know, obviously, God never promises any of us that we will hear his audible voice. It's very, very rare that it happens, but it does happen to some people. What did it sound like to you, Hedia?
I don't know how to explain it. It was extremely convincing and yet soft-spoken, not loud, not like the Morgan Freeman type of voice you imagine of in the burning bush.
Exactly. Yeah.
How do you describe something soft yet powerful? It was just a remarkable, remarkable experience. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Wow. So at that point, you started binge watching celebrity pastors. One in particular, I would imagine.
Yes, I was. I just loved the power of redemption, and it was this. A couple of the pastors that I listened to, in particular, were so great at describing how Christ had that power to heal and to restore, and you just bringing all your problems and your conflicts to the feet of Jesus, and he could restore you, and receiving the Holy Spirit could transform your life. And like I said in the article, it was like listening to a Christian Tony Robbins. It was just inspiring and motivating and powerful. And every day you woke up with this feeling, I could do it, and I could be healed, and I could be restored. It was what I needed at that point in my life. And it was just eventually I felt like something was missing. The Lord was leading me to learn more.
It was almost like, let's see, how can I describe this? Like life coach Jesus in some ways, you know, cheering you on from the sidelines. As opposed to, you know, the Jesus of the Bible. But you see, God, he does lead us in his great compassion, and he can use things that are not on the mark, and he can transform them. That's no excuse to not get everything, you know, all your doctrine as it should be, and to be biblical. No, that's vitally important. However, God works through imperfect pastors, teachers, et cetera, et cetera. Again, no excuse for that, but nevertheless, he can do that. God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick, after all.
And that's the paradox, right? That's the paradox of the celebrity pastor. It's very hard to sit in judgment of something like that when, I mean, I personally witnessed hundreds of people. I worked at a online salvation team for this church, and dozens and dozens of people. I personally was walking through the first steps of salvation.
Well,
that they received by watching this pastor online.
But there was a turning point, and we will talk more about that in just a few minutes. Kurt and Kate Mornings on Moody Radio. We're glad you're hanging out with us. 888-777-6810 if you want to call.
Whether it's with your family, in the workplace, or with a friend, tough conversations can be uncomfortable. We'd rather avoid them when it comes to sensitive issues like disagreeing with a spouse, confronting sin, or even sharing the gospel. Learn how a tough conversation can open doors to forgiveness, reconciliation, and common ground. Moody Radio is providing support and encouragement through helpful resources. Go to moodyradio.org/resources.
Welcome to a Tuesday, Kurt and Kate on Moody Radio. Hedia Miramati is joining us. She is with a ministry that is helping a lot of people come to Christ, resurrectministry.com. I put a link to the website. If you go to Curtain Gate Mornings on Facebook, you're going to find it there and learn more about Hedia and what she's up to. And she's written this article that you can find in the Christian Post that is pretty powerful. It's The Paradox of a Celebrity Pastor, and she's a Muslim convert to Christianity. And she says, you know, something that's big time, a big time stumbling block for many folks like her is that you've got these celebrity pastors. Yeah, they fail to teach the whole counsel of the gospel. Yes, this is a very big deal. It's, you know, we talk about some of the celebrity pastors that have fallen from grace, so to speak, et cetera, et cetera. They're not living out, they're not practicing what they preach and all of that with integrity. But she's like, you know what, the heart of the gospel is not being presented the way it should. Instead, a lot of these pastors are, you know, they're looking for social media fame and personal popularity and you know, wealth accumulation, and you know, getting rich for many of them is a priority. And so what do they have to do? Then they have to morph the message. Mm-hmm. They have to omit the hard truths of what Jesus was talking about, the tough sayings of Jesus, you know, and you know, things like repenting and turning from sin, you know, and rejecting the ways of the world. And he who loses his life, Jesus said, for my sake will find it. The last will be first and the first will be last. And so all of these challenging things we see in God's word when it comes to discipleship, Hedia says, you know what, this is not being taught. And we did mention that God can use anybody, and so mm-hmm. he can use anyone to bring them to salvation, you know, because we live in a fallen world, et cetera. But that's not an excuse for supporting ministries like this. So Hedia, as you, you know, you came to Christ through this life coach Jesus approach. When was that turning point? I want to zero in on this, where you realized, now, wait a minute, this is, there's so much more to this. Was it when you started to spend more time in the Word of God and you're like, wait a minute, I'm trying to compare things here and I'm seeing a disconnect? Was that what was going on with you?
It was, yes, it was reading the Bible for sure, reading the Word of God, and I started to watch videos of other pastors, including the one of the church that I currently attend.
Yeah.
So even though I was participating in a church that was actually physically located far from me, it was an online kind of church community. Even though I still participated in that, I started to physically attend Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, the church I currently go to. Mm-hmm. And I could just, when I would juxtapose the messages, I was like, wait a minute, what? These are quite different. And I was lucky, interestingly enough, the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, had put mentors, one in particular, from the original church that was discipling me way beyond things that were being taught at the church.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I had the benefit of somebody walking alongside of me saying, you've got to do more, you've got to try harder. These are all these other tenets of the faith that you need to adhere to.
This is not a... Again, I said it's not a small matter. It's a very big deal, because if you look at pop Christianity, so to speak, you know, feel-good Christianity, it's been around for a long time. There's nothing new mm-hmm. under the sun. But when we talk about the celebrity pastor thing, and we see the followings, whether it be video views, you know, or social media likes and followers of some of these celebrity pastors, I don't know. I guess, well, we go back to the Bible. You know, we want to hear what we want to hear. And we want, and Kate, we were talking about this yesterday here on the show, we want an emotional connection to Jesus, but we don't want to have a faith that costs us anything.
Yeah.
We don't want to give up our lives. You know, we're talking about that. He who wants to save his life will lose it, et cetera, et cetera. But he who wants to, you know, follow me.
You don't want to go crazy about it. Yeah. We, you know.
Or that's,
you know,
a fanatic.
God,
you're being, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Come on,
you
really,
know.
You're a fanatic there. And we talked about that.
Yes.
It's not radical obedience to just obey Jesus and what he calls us to do in the Word. I mean, this is not radical. This should be average, ordinary obedience following Jesus. In American Christianity, in many ways, we've gotten it all wrong, haven't we?
Yeah, it was a Francis Chan quote. Yeah. Lukewarm people call radical what Jesus expected of all of his followers.
What do you think of that?
Absolutely. One of the first articles I wrote for the Christian Post was called Battle in Christ. And I was expounding on how I felt that American Christians had it so easy. They don't understand what it means to be persecuted for faith and mm-hmm. what the Lord was calling for us to do, especially in the last days. He says, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. So it's not a fluffy, feel-good religion. It's a religion of sacrifice and obedience and discipline. And I worry about American Christians not being up to that task, thinking that that's outside of the religion. And especially in the field of counterterrorism, I heard all the time about extremists and terrorists thinking that Christians were weak and they had no faith and they had no discipline. And when I see the community that I'm a part of now, and I meet very, very dedicated Christians, I was like, wow, people have such a misunderstanding about what it really means to be a disciple of Christ.
Do you think part of that is because we don't dress a part?
No, I actually think most people don't behave the part. I'm sorry, but
no,
I've met some amazing, powerful Christians, but I've met some really wishy-washy ones too. So I've been in churches and I've been in conversations with people who have just lives that don't reflect, I mean, the holiness that the Lord is calling us to. The free gift of salvation offers people the opportunity of a free pass.
Yeah.
So if you don't read the Bible and understand the holiness that Christ is calling us to, then you think salvation as a free gift means you could just do whatever you want.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
cheap
and
grace.
Unfortunately,
cheap
grace. You see people living lives like that, and they're devastated, and they're in constant turmoil. And you're looking at them, you're like, "Are you reading the same Bible I'm reading?"
I know.
And it's just that they just don't follow it. Actually, my own husband says he was walking around teaching Bible study and attending church for 20 years before he met Christ.
That's a sad commentary on where we are, man.
But that's
for real. You know, one of the things, Hedy, I wanted to ask you about has to do with the stats we see of how many people are embracing various religions. And we see that the Muslim faith is on the increase in many of these studies. I mean, it may have changed, but the last time I looked, there are a lot of people who are embracing Islam. And oh my goodness, you talk about a very difficult religion, a very disciplined religion, all of this. And yet we as Christians tend to think, I got to water this down. I don't want to make it too hard so more people come into the tent. And yet it seems to not be working. And it's like people want a cause they're willing to die for. They want sacrifice. They want something.
Absolutely.
It means something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And the sect that I belong to in Islam, half of them were converts from Christianity. And so even though it wasn't violent, it was very disciplined. So people sought out that discipline. And I had numerous, countless conversations with people saying, why'd you leave Christianity? And this was just general curiosity, getting to know people. And they inevitably would say the churches were empty. They were boring. It didn't resonate with me. My father was a drunk. Whatever it was, that just they felt that they had no relationship, no direct relationship with God. And they were seeking that direct personal relationship. Unfortunately, they don't realize that in Islam, you never develop a personal relationship with God, but that's what they were seeking. Just the same thing I was seeking when I was young. But unfortunately, a lot of the churches are not teaching what it means to have a direct relationship with the Lord and how to draw closer to Him and how to live a life that's Spirit-filled.
What a wake-up call this is. Resurrect Ministry is Hedia's ministry, and she is doing some great work. We've got videos there, notice some articles, and just a lot of great stuff. Hedia, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. It's really important, and I'm glad you popped up on our radar.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
It's easy to grow weeds, but growing a tomato plant or a rose bush, now that takes planning and effort. The right soil, the right time of year. Hi, I'm Michael Rydelnik from Open Line. You know, here at Moody Radio, we have a plan for growth. More listeners connecting in more ways with more spiritual momentum. Help us grow with your gift online at moodyradiogift.com. That's moodyradiogift.com or call 800-400-7022.
Kurt and Kate, 8:51, kind of a recap. Dr. John was with us. What's up, Doc, in the 7 a.m. hour. We took your medical questions, and they were good ones, but as always, we had a mad dash to the finish. We couldn't take all the calls and questions. Call early. So that's the moral to that story.
Yeah.
And then, of course, this hour, we were talking with Hedia Miramati about her ministry and her story, resurrectministry.com. coming out of the Muslim faith, out of Islam, and embracing Jesus. And that story is, it's a powerful story, but she also, I mean, God's gifted her. Excuse me. Obviously, she's well-spoken, and she is an ambassador for Christ, and I think she's reaching a lot of people, Kate.
Yes.
That need to be reached.
Yeah. You know,
everybody's voice matters.
Same things that need to be said.
Yeah. I'm glad we invited her to be with us.
Yes,
she was a first-time guest.
Yes, very much so.
If you'd like to check out her website for ministry, go to Kurt and Kate Mornings on Facebook. That's Kurt and Kate Mornings on Facebook. And if you haven't liked us and followed us there, please do. What are you waiting for? And also, we told you about the Father's Day prize pack that we are giving away. Father's Day, everybody, is coming up. Yep.
Yeah.
And this prize pack is one of the best ones we've ever come up with.
Good stuff. A couple of books and this really intriguing coffee mug.
All right. Well, first, I know we want to get to the coffee book because it is cool. The Dad Difference, Brian Laritz from Moody Publishers, another book, Men of Influence. The book focuses on the importance of being a mentor and being intentional in relationships with one another. So, Men of Influence and also The Dad Difference. And now we will talk about the coffee mug that we're throwing
in. The coffee mug, on it is written, "Do good work." And it's a stainless steel construction and a metal carabiner handle, you know. So, like, after you finish it, if you're outside, you can go and just clip it on your belt and walk away.
Okay, very manly. And yes. If that's another thing, recapping the show, we had to find out how to pronounce carabiner.
Carabiner?
Carabiner,
yeah.
Not carabiner?
No, beaner. Okay, beaner. That's right, how beaner. It has been expressed to us.
Here we go. It was not the word of the day. It should have been, but
no,
it wasn't.
No, should have been, had I known.
Yeah, so you got that mug from Magnolia. Also from Magnolia, that is a Chip and Joanna Gaines, right?
Right.
Candle, that is, and you might be thinking, oh, no, it's a guy thing. Well, you can give it to your wife, but it's got, let's see, the scent is peppercorn, leather, and sandalwood, so
yeah.
It's masculine.
Yeah,
it's a man candle.
It has a cork lid, which is kind of nice, too, a nice finish there.
I love sandalwood. That's one of my favorite scents.
Well, there you go.
And then there's food.
Yes, of course, we'd be remiss. This is from Man Crates. It's called Man Chow.
Man Chow.
And it's hand-coated salted pretzels, ginger spice cookies, and crispy cereal bits in melted milk chocolate and gourmet speculoos. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Speculoos cookie
it
batter.
It is now.
Speculoos. I thought it was a play on spectacular.
Oh, wait a
really
minute. It's
good.
A typo, and we're
is
reading it. That's probably what's happening.
Cookie batter.
You know what it's missing, though?
If
it's going to be a man thing, it's got to have bacon in it. And I don't see bacon anywhere in that.
No, speculoos is a word.
It's a type of bacon?
It's a flavor.
It is.
Spread or paste. Let's see. Speculoos cookies. The flavor is caramelized and gingerbread-like. Mm. Oh, I want it.
All right, sounds good.
How
I'm glad you looked that up.
Kate
Apedi on the job, yeah. Also, we have some man socks, pair of socks here. And these fun socks, it says, are a fiesta for your feet.
Those are cute.
And they do look fun. And obnoxious. Yes, we love obnoxious.
In just the right
wear
way,
wear them with sandals and shorts. And then finally, we have a gift card for $50. All of that in our Father's Day giveaway prize pack. I love this. You may be thinking, okay, that's fine. You sold me. How can I have a chance at winning one of these? Well, all you have to do is text the word dad, just dad, to the Kurt and Kate hotline. We'll send you back a link so you can see all the prizes and can enter to win. Text the word dad, D-A-D, just dad, nothing else, and we will fire you back a link. We love our dads.
Yes. Developing your child's maturity is a series of stages. In their book, The Four Habits of Raising Joy-Filled Kids, Marcus Warner and Chris Corsi provide a toolbox full of skills that you can use to help your children grow in maturity and live with greater joy. Parenting is hard, yet raising kids to become happy, confident, and productive adults is doable. Applying key principles brings success. Pick up your copy of The Four Habits of Raising Joy-Filled Kids at MoodyPublishers.com.